Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I'll bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
And at least for one night, the Giants tied with the Dodgers in the NL West standings. The Padres 2-0 right now. Rockies 1-1 as well. Diamondbacks 0-2. And joining me on the UMA guest line, you hear him all season long. Giants pregame talking baseball with Marty Lurie. You hear him today with Bill Lasky and Kerry Crowley starting at 2 o'clock. But he took some time out of his Saturday morning to stop by and talk some baseball. Marty, what's going on, man? I miss you. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's about 90 degrees down here in Arizona today. But look, it's baseball season. It's the first couple of months. So what a beginning, huh?
Yeah, I mean, no shortage of storylines. And we'll get into some of the other stuff around the league in a minute. But I wanted to get your take on the first couple of days. Obviously, I'm following you on Twitter. And your thoughts, Kerry and I were discussing it yesterday. Your thoughts on game one and the bullpen situation and how long you let Kevin Gausman go. Did you really think it was like a bottom five loss for the Giants in franchise history, Marty?
Well, you know, I did say that, and I love Twitter.
Yeah,
I love Twitter.
It's the best,
because,
yeah.
Really, because so many fans got engaged with that one tweet, and it involved Jake McGee and how devastating the loss was. And it was more like an opening day loss in Giants opening day history.
Fair enough,
It was one of the bad ones, as opposed to, you know, all the ones that we could come up with. But I love the fact that people got engaged. Before you knew it, 300-400 people had commented, and that's good.
Yeah.
That's good for radio. It's good for baseball that people are engaged this early. So did I think it was that bad? It was a bad loss for opening day. You like to have your team heading in the right direction. Gausman pitched great. They had a 6-1 lead in the eighth inning, and you let it get away. That's not good, but we can analyze it. The big thing for me was Jake McGee. See, and I think you should do everything you can to win the first game. And Jake McGee is terrific. He pitched 8 pitches.
Yeah.
8. I didn't say 80. I said 8. 8 pitches. And he retired, of course, the M's in the 9th inning. Then you get to the 10th inning, and the Giants don't score in the top half. So you want to make sure you're going to get to the next inning. And I said, let McGee come out again. He throws nothing but strikes. And, of course, the explanation was, well, he's a one-inning pitcher. He can't do this and that. And I said, throw out the script. If you watch the game, you didn't want to lose it. And he certainly could have given you another inning and not have him unavailable for last night. He came in last night and threw 9 pitches last night. So this is the kind of guy he is. So that was my point. People went, I'd say about 85-90% were in my corner and a few weren't.
Yeah, I don't think your take is bad on that at all, especially considering opening day. And Murph and I were saying this the other day. I'd like to win the opening day game. I'd like to win the first one.
And he threw 8 pitches. Come on. This is a big guy. He's 6'3", 240.
And what's funny is, and I saw Kerry put this out, or somebody had tweeted this out yesterday, isn't it weird how long he hung around as a free agent? I mean, we see these guys now, and Donovan Solano is another good example. These guys turn 30 years old, and for some reason we think, he's past his prime, or he's no good anymore. Jake McGee may end up being a very effective piece at the back end of this bullpen, and Donovan Solano at 33, right in the heart of the lineup. I just think the way they've identified some of this talent, and while it's a much older team than we've seen in the past, I think there's some reason to be excited about some elements of this offense and the bullpen.
Well, there's no question. I mean, they can hit. They can drink. They can hit the Marty Lurie drinking game. Believe me, they can hit. They've got 6 home runs. They're playing a game like softball.
Don't say it again, Marty. I'll be drunk by the time you get off the air with me here, dude.
I mean, Kikuchi was terrific, but, you know, Posey took him out, and you just had that feeling he was going to hang one, and he did on the outside part of the plate. He's a big curveball guy, and Longo got into it and then took it out and tied the game up at that point. So they obviously can swing the bat, as we like to say. As Ron Wotus, he'll be with me today, says, you know, they can whistle the pole. So they can do it. They can score some runs. And they did it last year, and they're doing the same thing this year. And really, it's a 1-8, and two guys are really carrying them right now, and that is Solano and Longoria, not getting anything from the top of the lineup. From Slater, hit the home run, hasn't had a hit since. Yastrzemski hasn't had a hit yet. Dubon in the bottom of the lineup with Crawford, they haven't done much. So they're getting it done. the bullpen is interesting. And, you know, Adam, what Raff and I talk about, and we'll talk about on the show today with Bill and Kerry and our guests, in April and May, you figure out who you are. And that's what they have to do. Is Rogers the eighth inning guy? Is Whistler going to be the eighth inning guy? Is Alvarez going to be reliable? McGee, we know what he can do. So is Maranta going to be okay? And that's something you figure out in these first couple of months of the season, and you go from there. So there are going to be blips along the way as you figure out who that eighth inning guy is going to be. And that's very important for the Giants because they sent some people down. Tropiano, Leon was sent down. Mm-hmm. Littell was sent down. And, of course, you know, you don't want to mess around with the roster and the 40-man roster. So, you know, you send them to the alternate site and you keep your inventory so you don't have to make 40-man moves. But at some point, you know, these guys are going to be part of it. And they were the better relievers in spring training. Whistler was not great in spring training. Harlan Garcia, who we love. But he was out for a while, and I think he had some COVID issue there. Alvarez came in late. So Maranta came in, you know, late, and he wasn't in good shape. So they really kept some bullpen pieces that normally, if you weren't concerned with the 40-man, that you had some people who maybe looked a little bit better. So we'll see how it goes for the first couple of months. But, boy, they can hit. And take a drink, and honestly, it was a lot of fun watching the game because they're always in it. And Cueto, I'll go on a little bit here.
It's good. I want to get into Cueto. Yeah,
yeah. Cueto was 105 pitches, and Kapler clearly trusts him.
Yeah,
he doesn't mess around with Cueto. He doesn't want Cueto in his office the next day saying, "What are you doing?" He's giving him that respect and that leeway. And when it got to the middle of the game, and this is what veterans do, when it got to the middle of the game, Cueto put it together.
Yep.
And he got a big double play, and then he was gone, and Peralta got the out, and Peralta pitched the seventh and was fine. So for me, Cueto, you know, when he needed 93, 94, he could go to it. The changeup was still his out pitch, and he hung in there, and he kept his team in the game. It could have gotten away from him early. But he kept him in the game and allowed the 3-3 tie in the sixth inning. And that was the end of his night. But he did his job last night, and I thought he's commended for doing that. I thought he did a good job.
And to your point about Kapler, he said as much after the game, you know, about his communication with Johnny Cueto. And I think last year, and I really am, you mentioned Buster Posey at the plate, but I don't think we can overstate the impact he's got behind the plate. Johnny Cueto's ability to get in rhythm and stay in rhythm, even when he was kind of leaking oil there in the middle innings, that's what a veteran does. You talk about him pushing through and continuing to throw strikes and continuing to battle. I don't know that he felt as comfortable. Well, I think I do know. He did not feel as comfortable last year with guys like Chadwick Tromp and Joey Bart
really?
Behind the plate.
You think so?
And he said it after
I
the game.
I thought he was going to leave the mound.
Yeah. He might go catch his own game. Yeah.
Yeah, are you kidding?
He's basically calling his own game. You know?
He didn't want either one of them back there. He wanted Kapler back there.
Yeah, so he said, since I got Buster Posey, he says he knows the league, he knows the hitters, he knows the game, I'm going to have a big season. That's what he said through Erwin Higueros after the game yesterday. And so I'm wondering your thoughts on Buster and the impact he's going to have behind the plate with some of these guys.
Tremendous. Yeah. Tremendous impact. You don't even think about the catcher anymore. Last year, and look, these are young catchers. Trump was a double-A player. Bart had never, you know, done anything above double-A, really. And they had to learn how to catch in the big leagues. Not easy. And they both had a real learning curve, and it showed with the pitchers. Now, Posey, just you don't think about it. If someone's in trouble, he goes to the mound. He knows how to frame pitches, and it's just you just look at him back there, and you just say, "Boy, you're glad that he's back there." Today is going to be interesting because Posey is not catching Logan Webb today, and Logan Webb is someone who last year would get off to a good start, and then all of a sudden, in fourth inning, fifth inning, he would come apart. And he really just disintegrated when he got into trouble, and no one could get him through it. And I thought Posey would be the one to do it. So Casale is going to catch today because Posey worked hard the first 2 days, and there's an off day tomorrow, and then it's San Diego. So let's see what Casale does with Logan Webb today. Posey is so important to Logan Webb, and you know the terrain down here. the Giants had a game in Goodyear, and Posey was on the bus to go to Goodyear just to catch Logan Webb.
Yeah.
That's how important Posey is. So I can't overestimate, I can't say enough about it. It's great to have him back. Just great.
Logan Webb going to go tonight against Chris Flexen from the Seattle Mariners. He's a Bay Area kid, I just found out. He's at a Newark Memorial opposite Joey Lucchese. So Logan Webb tonight. And Logan Webb, to me, it's sort of funny with the – you think about, you know, traditional spring trainings and guys trying to make the team out of camp and earn a rotation spot. Outside of – Logan Webb, and I don't know that there's anybody else, because they signed a lot of these guys to be in specific roles. He kind of had a traditional sort of rookie camp where had to earn his spot, prove that he made the adjustments, and it's all about his changeup now. People are speaking highly of this changeup, which is always funny to me going into a start of a season, Marty, because like the other hitters know he's going to throw that changeup, right? They've been talking it up all spring long.
Well, he throws 94 with it.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, it's 82, and the whole trick to pitching is getting someone off balance. That's the key. Dubon has been off balance a lot. He got a couple of pitches high and away that he poked into right field, but he's off balance right now. Logan Webb keeps you off balance, and he's 24 years old. He doesn't give up home runs. He's a very tough-looking kid on the mound. He looks like a boxer with that jaw on the mound.
He does have that jaw going.
Oh, come on. He looks like, you know.
He's sort of a bulldog out there. Like
You know, and he's a big kid. You know, this is not a little kid. So he's got a great arm, and now it's the question of just learning how to pitch in the major leagues, and that's why the catcher is very important for him. So we'll see what he does today. He did see Seattle last year, and they knocked him around pretty good. Five innings, I think five runs. Mm-hmm. But this is a new Logan Webb. He was, without a doubt, the best pitcher in the Giants camp spring training. And I saw his last game against the A's. I went to the game in Mesa to watch it. And there was that changeup, and he's got people off balance. So I expect a big game from him tonight. And Chris Flexen, who knows what's going to happen. You know, he pitched last year in the Korean League, and he did okay, and he was okay in, you know, in the playoffs. But this is a 14th-round pick. Took him 8 years in the Mets minor league system to get to the big leagues. His peripheral numbers are not pretty. So let's see what happens. I would think the Giants should be in good shape tonight.
Yeah, he's a guy who struggled a lot with throwing strikes, it looked like, before he went over to Korea, then put up big strikeout numbers over there. But we'll see
you
if it
translates. You can run on him.
Yeah.
And his nickname, if anyone's listening, his nickname is Big Baby.
That's Flexen's nickname?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
now, I couldn't figure it out. They don't tell you why. But that's his, it said it right on his page. Nickname, Big Baby.
It's not quite Happy Felch. You know what I mean?
You know,
it's
not quite. It's not Baby Huey.
No.
I don't know who it is. You know?
It's not Baby Huey.
Really?
It's fun talking Giants, Marty, but you okay if we jump around the league a little bit? This is one of my favorite things to do
absolutely.
With you.
Just I want to do a shout out before I forget
do
to
it,
Bonnie
do it, yeah.
and Greg and
oh, yeah.
Ruby and Noah. Of course, they're listening, and of course, they listen to you all the time. So I just want to shout out to them before I forget. So go ahead.
Hey, Bonnie and Greg and Noah. And I'm sorry, what's your granddaughter's name? I forget.
Ruby.
Ruby. There we go. And, I haven't seen as much of them in the last couple
of
years.
Hopefully Uncle Aaron is awake by now that he's listening.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know about Uncle Aaron being up quite yet. It's not noon
not
yet.
It's a little early.
A little early for that. So, hey, some of the stuff yesterday, we were talking about it in the last segment. Did you catch any of the Trevor Bauer debut for the Dodgers yesterday?
Yeah, I did. I watched the first three or four innings of it. And, boy, he had Colorado eating out of his hand. They could not touch him. And Senzatella had zero. They had seven runs off him by the fourth inning, and you just knew that you think the game was over, and then all of a sudden it was 10-6. But Bauer was unbelievable. He took the no-hitter into the seventh inning. Story broke it up. But he had a very, very long sixth inning, a very long sixth inning on the bench, and they said he was exhausted. So what can I tell you? He ran the bases and all that, and it was clear when he came out for the bottom of the sixth that that he didn't have it anymore.
I had seen a note that he had previously had two no-hitters that went, or two outings in his career where he'd taken a no-hitter into the sixth inning or something, and both times he had been pulled out of the game before allowing a hit.
This is going to be different. I like to watch the Dodger games just to see what they've got.
Yeah, same.
And boy, Turner hits the ball and Bellinger. They're 1-8 again. They're all ready, and they've got big arms and Urias and May and Bueller's pitching today. So, you know, we've got an interesting race ahead of us.
Gonsolin, take your pick. They got a bunch of them.
Yeah, he's in the bullpen.
Kerry Knebel, they added
David
him.
Price.
Oh, so many of them down there.
So, but they whacked Colorado around pretty good. And that was the story of the game last night. They hit the ball well. And they didn't play well the day before. You know, they lost to Colorado. That's when Bellinger passed Turner on the bases.
Was that one of the craziest plays you'd seen? I mean, the home run that leaves the glove and goes over the fence from Tapia in left field was nuts. But then for the mass confusion on the field that nobody really knew where the ball was or what happened.
Well, Turner obviously lost the ball.
Right.
Because he's now running, and he passes second base and goes back, thinks it's caught, so he touches second and flies. I mean, he's not just jogging back to first. He was flying back to first, and Bellinger is thrilled. The ball's over the fence, and he's making a nice turn around first, and all of a sudden he looks to his left, and there's Turner. And Turner then, you know, he passed Turner. So Turner gets the score. Bellinger is out, and he's credited with a single. And that, you know, there's a famous play in, you know, baseball history, Harvey Haddix's, you know, 12 perfect innings for the Pirates against the Braves, and Joe Adcock hit a three-run homer in the 13th inning, and he passed Hank Aaron on the bases. Hank Aaron felt, well, I don't have to run anymore. I think I'll go back to the clubhouse. We won the game already.
Yeah.
And Adcock passed him, and when you look it up, Haddix's lost 1-0. But it should have been 3-0. So there's another moment when it happened.
I think there's a famous one to the Robin Ventura grand slam, the walk-off, where it ends up being a double because I think the bases were loaded, but he never touched home plate. They mobbed him at second.
So
he never touches the plate.
Yeah, crazy. Well, what a crazy opening day. The snow in Detroit.
How about that? He hits Miguel Cabrera hits a home run. He didn't see it go out, so he slid into second.
How could you see the ball in the snow?
Yeah. How funny was that? Oh, crazy stuff. Here's one more I wanted to ask you about. Last night, the Anaheim Angels, or the L.A. Angels of Anaheim, were playing the Chicago White Sox, and Albert Pujols comes up. He hits his 663rd career home run. His next time up, Tony La Russa, manager of the White Sox, intentionally walks him, his former manager, and he's laughing at first base. I was thinking, boy, it's probably been a while since Albert Pujols has been intentionally walked. Did you get a look at that or any thought on that?
You know, I didn't see it. I just heard that Tony walked him.
It's kind of funny.
And then, you know, showed him a certain amount of respect. It's going to be interesting to watch Pujols this year because, you know, can he get to 700 home runs or close to
it? So he needs 37 more. He hasn't hit 37 since 2014.
No, he would need about
four seasons. You think four?
four
more. So in 2025, maybe Pujols will hit 700.
Right. You know, I'll be fishing in Tahiti. Man,
I hope not, Marty. I hope you're still here talking ball with me, man.
Yeah. But it should take a few years. But, you know, he's an amazing player, all the RBIs and runs scored and all that. And Tony is a student of the game.
Yeah.
And, look, he did it to Bonds all the time. You know, you don't play. I remember the quote. You don't play with fire, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see Tony, how he handles the White Sox, because they've got a good team, and they're probably, Minnesota's there too. But he's got the team, the best team in the Central, so it's going to be fun to watch him.
All right, I dug up one this date in baseball history just to ask you about, Marty. I figured I'd be remiss if I didn't do this with you, because we never get to chat about this stuff anymore. So I was looking up 1966. They were still in spring training at this point, April 3rd, 1966. Giants and the Dodgers are getting ready to play a spring training game, like an exhibition game. Giants lose to the Dodgers 8-4, but in the ball game, it's the first time that Juan Marichal has had a chance to face Johnny Roseborough since the incident the year before. Giants general manager at the time, Chubb Feeney, is that his name?
Yep.
You know the name? Yep. He tries to set up a meeting between Roseborough and Marichal before the game, but Roseborough had a $110,000 lawsuit pending on the Dominican Dandy and decided not to do it. He steps up in the game against Marichal. He hits a 3-run inside the park home run in a spring training game. How about that?
Isn't it great? I mean, that's what we love about baseball. What a great story. And in later life, Marichal and Roseborough became very, very good friends.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, Marichal spoke at Roseborough's funeral. But they became very good friends, and in the game where Marichal hit Roseborough, Koufax was pitching. Of course, that precipitated the incident because he didn't want to hit anybody. And then Mays hit the big home run to win the game. How about that?
It's crazy stuff. How about
and then Marichal gets suspended, and it basically costs the Giants the pennant. Because Marichaux got suspended.
Well, and probably rightly so. He was suspended from the game. I mean, if that happened today, you'd be done for the year probably.
They would take you away in handcuffs.
That would be it. Yeah, you might actually get a lot, like a, not just a lawsuit, like a criminal charge.
You just can't hit someone over the head with a bat.
When Juan came and sat with us on the patio a couple of years ago, he was wearing the powder blue suit. That was the first time I'd seen somebody with a legitimate aura. Like he came and sat down. I'm like, this guy's a Hall of Famer. He almost floated to the table. You know,
I loved it. Yeah. Boy, we had nice people out there. You know that?
We're missing it, man. I can't wait to get back out to the patio.
You know, Johnny LeMaster was fun.
Oh, he was great. LeMaster was great
when he was out there
coaching high school baseball in Kentucky. I think is what he's doing now. Right?
Yeah,
he's out there with his grandkids. And
what a nice young man.
Yeah, that was great.
Shortstop Dwayne. He played with Dwayne.
Yeah.
So Dwayne knew him
very
well.
Johnny LeMaster, I think he's much like Johnny Vandermeer, I think he's got a record that'll never be broken. In 1985, Johnny LeMaster played for 300 lost teams in the same season. I don't think that could be broken.
Well, that's a good one. I didn't know that.
You'll have to have four teams lose 100 games, and you'd have to play for all of them in 1 year. I don't think that's happening. Yeah.
No, that's very good.
Hey, Marty, I know you're on it too. We'll let you run. I appreciate you giving us some good stuff. I know you got to save. I know you got to save your fastball for two to five today.
This is what we do. You know, we just get out there and talk about it, and Kerry and Bill and myself, and we've got good guests coming on today.
Yeah,
and I don't know. It's the third game of the year. I think the Giants should win this series. Let's face it, Seattle is not a real veteran team. They're still learning a lot. And the Giants bullpen, it's a day-by-day process, and we're just learning who can pitch for them. And I would imagine we'll see a bullpen today. I imagine they're going to have to come to grips with the right-handed relief. For me, that's the biggest question. They've got a million lefties, but it's the right-handed relief. They got to figure it out. They got to have the eighth-inning guy, because Rogers, for me, last night, hey, Solano made a heck of a play.
That little bounce throw to first, yeah.
If he doesn't make that play, now it's first and second, nobody out. And all of a sudden, you know, getting a little tight. So they've got to figure out what to do in the eighth inning.
Yeah, we got to throw some strikes. That's where it starts, Marty. Throw some strikes.
Well, you do. You can't. It's so frustrating. But the game today is, you know, walk, strikeout, and home run. And pitchers have to come in and throw strikes. You get a guy. They talked about it in the show, count leverage. You get a guy 1-2, 0-2, it's over. Put him away. It shouldn't go to 3-2. And that's the problem with pitchers today, is that they don't put people away early.
Yeah, because they don't pitch their contact, like you're saying. They want to go deep into the count and finish him off. But don't tell that to Donovan Solano. He'll turn on that inside pitch. He'll hit a double up the line. He's incredible. How he got to
that pitch. The odds on him winning the batting title were 6.5 to 1. So if you put up $100, you win $650. He may win the batting title.
It's not a bad pick. I mean, considering what he did at second base last year, winning the Silver Slugger in 2 years ago, it's not a bad bet at all. Though,
you
better get on that soon, because it's going to start dropping if he has another game today like he did yesterday.
You know, he should hit, you know, 320, 330. It's not out of the question.
Yeah.
Now, what do you do with Posey? Now, Bill and I and Kerry will talk about that today. I mean, Posey's sitting in the seventh spot. I guess you don't want to move him
yet. No, I'm saying leave him. I like the extending of the lineup down there with Posey at seven. I think if you get a little pop out of the seven hole with your catcher, I think that's a plus. Yeah. I'm happy with that. And oftentimes, he'd come up after, you know, second or third an inning a few different times with guys on base potentially.
Well, that's the issue.
Yeah.
Of getting guys on ahead of him.
Right. Two solo home runs, yeah.
Yeah, that's the issue. You got to get people on ahead of him, because what do you do with him? Do you put him back third? Then what do you do with Solano at that point? You know, so this is not simple. I would think Posey's going to jump Flores at some point. I think that's next, maybe in the San Diego series.
Well, Flores is kind of your utility guy to plug him and play him in different spots, too. So you're right. You may be able to move him around in the lineup, too.
Yeah, I see that coming.
Anyway,
all right,
I'll let you go, Marty. Enjoy the next couple
hours. It's a pleasure. I'm looking forward to us doing so much more on my show, your show, whatever, and I miss you.
I miss you, too, Marty. It's great talking to you, man. I'll be listening later at 2 o'clock when you and Bill and Kerry get going, taking us right up to Giants baseball tonight. Enjoy your afternoon, man. We'll catch you later, Marty.
All right. Say hi to the family.
I will. Thank you so much. Marty Lurie, he's just the best.
Let me be straight with you. This is a radio commercial for 3 small business insurance. The policy has no fine print. It's clear what's covered. So while you can't see the following scene, just know that this pet store is protected by 3.
Joe, did you leave the snake tank open?
Look, I don't want to point fingers, but yes.
It's biting me!
Sorry, sir!
I'm calling my lawyer.
They're going to need some help with this mess. Luckily, they have 3. No fine print, just exceptional coverage. 3 is a product of Berkshire Hathaway Direct Insurance Company. 3, no nonsense, just common sense.